Today on The Journey.
Sometimes we have experiences where we say we could not be closer to Christ. And sometimes we have some bad stretches. When Jesus comes and asks us again, do you really love me?
What do you do when you've set aside the faith you long held dear? How do you repair a commitment to Christ that has crumbled under the stresses of life? Well, Ron Moore talks about that on today's program by recalling the example of one whose renewed faith changed the world. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. It contains short meditations that direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Challenge, on The Journey.
We've been involved in a series called Following the Leader, and we have seen the resolve of Jesus. And we have seen the power of Jesus, not only to be raised from the dead, but to change our lives. And today, we want to see the challenge of Jesus. What would He challenge us to do? What is He challenging you to do? Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 21. And as you're finding that chapter, let me set the context. By this time, it is well known by the disciples that Jesus has been raised from the dead. The same person the disciples saw beaten and mocked and fastened to a cross with spikes, the one they saw breathe his last, the one they watched laid in a tomb, that same Jesus was alive. To this point, He has appeared to them two times. And on both occasions, the door was locked, and He just appeared in the room. And on both occasions, Jesus had showed them the nail prints in His hands, and He showed them the wound in His side to prove that He wasn't a ghost, He wasn't their imagination, but He was indeed physical, risen Lord. However, Jesus didn't stay with His disciples. His appearances were periodic. His first one was on Resurrection Sunday, the evening of that day. Then a week passed, and He appeared to them again. And now another period has gone by. We don't know how long the period was, but seven of the disciples are together, and one of them, Peter, got antsy. Look at chapter 21, verse 3. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. We can only assume that Peter, the outspoken disciple, just got a little crazy being cooped up. He said, I want to get out of here. And besides, I'm getting hungry. Let's go catch some fish, so we can have something to eat. However, their fishing experience was like my fishing experiences normally are. Look at the end of verse 3. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now they were about 100 yards out on the Sea of Galilee when they heard a person called to them. Because of the distance and possibly because of the early morning fog, they didn't recognize who it was. Look at verse 5. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And He said, throw your net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Perhaps it was the miracle of the catch, or perhaps the fog had lifted by this time, but it's John who recognizes that the person on the shore is none other than Jesus. And John says, it is the Lord. And Peter, without hesitation, jumped into the water and began to swim to the shore to see Jesus. He couldn't wait to get the net in the boat. He couldn't wait to turn the boat around. He is in the water and he is going to see Jesus. And once Peter and the rest of the disciples get to shore, the risen Lord had prepared breakfast for them. The third appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, and he cooked breakfast for seven hungry disciples. Now, it was after the breakfast that Jesus had a one-on-one conversation with Peter. The other disciples were there, and they were listening, but the conversation was between Peter and Christ. And Peter begins this intimate interaction with a very penetrating question. Look at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Can you imagine Jesus Christ looking you in the eyes and asking you that question? Do you truly love me more than these? More than these people? More than these things? Now, quite honestly, there was a bit of a bite to the question, and Peter knew it. Before the crucifixion, Jesus had told his disciples that every last one of them would run. And in Mark chapter 14, Peter, again, very outspoken, very impulsive, the leader of the 12, declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." And all the others said the same. When it came time for the soldiers to come and arrest Jesus, you know what Peter did, don't you? He ran with the rest of them. Turn over to Luke chapter 22 and look at verse 54. Luke records, "Then seizing him, they led him astray," talking about Jesus, "and they took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance." Just mark that in your mind for a second. Peter followed at a distance. "But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" Look at verse 60. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And then look at verse 61. Can you imagine? The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. So do you hear the bite in the question? When Jesus asks, deafening silence, with that crackling fire, he turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Now it's a humbled Peter who replies. The end of verse 15, "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." And then again in verse 16, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And in verse 17, the third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it. But he had had a bad stretch in his spiritual journey. after making great boasts. If anyone else leaves you, I'll stay with you. They may run, but not me. He ran like the rest. And to make matters worse, he openly denied Jesus three times. And remember those words? As Jesus was on his way to the cross, Luke says, Peter followed at a distance. In our lives as Christians, there are times when we go through some bad stretches, spiritually speaking. There are times when we follow at a distance. We're called to follow the leader. We say, yes, Jesus, I love you. And yet, there are times when we are following and we can hardly see the leader ahead. Sometimes we have experiences where we say we could not be closer to Christ. And sometimes we have some bad stretches. And because of that, it's important that we take some time for renewal and commitment. When Jesus comes and asks us again, do you really love me? I think the first principle we can learn from this passage is this. When you follow the leader, there are needed times of recommitment and renewal. You're going to go through some bad stretches. There are going to be times when you do not feel close to God. Just like if you're married, there are times in your marriage relationship you feel more connected, more in love than you do other times. That's just called life. But when we go through these bad stretches, there needs to be times of recommitment and renewal. And that's what's happening here, I believe, in the life of Peter. He has gone through a terrible time. He's denied Christ three times over. And Jesus has met him and said, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you. So, here's my challenge. Are you following at a distance? Are you in a bad stretch? You're a Christian, but you're following at a distance. I challenge you that this would be a time of recommitment and renewal. When he asks, do you really love me? If you're a Christian, it's time to say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know I love you. And here's my desire for recommitment and renewal. I want to demonstrate my love to you. There's a second thing I believe we learn from this encounter between Jesus and Peter. When you follow the leader, love is proven by action. Three times over, when Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you, Jesus says, then feed my lambs, Peter. Take care of my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. If you truly love me, you will prove that you love me with these tangible acts of service. And just as Jesus demonstrated to us in the most vivid, tangible way that he loved us by going to a cross, so he asks us, if you love me, then prove it. If you love me, then demonstrate it. If you truly love me, then show your love in tangible ways. Now, I don't know the specific application for you when Jesus says, feed my lambs or feed my sheep. If you're married, it would be a nurturing relationship between a husband and wife. If you have children, certainly there would be clear application that you as a parent would need to feed them spiritually and nourish them spiritually and take care of them spiritually. Feed my lambs or sheep may be an interaction you need to have with family member or a friend or a neighbor, people at work or people at school. Maybe feeding lambs or feeding sheep for you would be service at the church. Maybe it's time you step up to a place of service, nursery or children or youth or adults or whatever. There are all kinds of opportunities. But the point, I believe, of this passage is love is proven by action. So here's my challenge. As you think of your love for Jesus, is your love for Jesus lip service or life service? Is it just something you talk about? Something you just sing about? Or is it something you do? Is it life service? You demonstrate, you prove your love for Christ by tangible acts of love. One more lesson I believe we learned from this conversation with Jesus and Peter. Look at verse 18. After the third question, do you love me? And the third response, you know I do. And the third prove it response, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But Peter, you got to know this, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And then John says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to him, follow me. Jesus was telling Peter, you're going to stretch out your hands and you're going to go where you don't want to go. He was telling Peter that he was going to be crucified. It's not in Scripture, but church history says that Peter was indeed crucified and didn't believe that he could have the honor of being crucified upright like Jesus. And so he asked that he was crucified upside down in order to glorify God in that way. But here, Jesus said, Peter, follow me. Now, look how Peter responds in verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, the writer of this gospel, was following them. John was walking behind them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and asked him, Lord, who is going to betray you? Look at verse 21. When Peter saw him, he said, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Here's the third point. When you follow the leader, your eyes are focused on Jesus, not on the people or things around you. When we get our eyes off Christ and compare ourselves with others, we can say, what about them? And Jesus says, I'll take care of them. You just follow me. I don't know about you, but when I start looking at other people and my vocation, I can get jealous. I can become envious. I can become really critical and even discouraged. Kind of childish, isn't it? But that's what happens when you look at other people and say, hey, Lord, what about them? Do you do it? In business, hey, Lord, I'm trying to run a business on biblical principles. Why does that place always prosper? The pagan runs that one. Why does he prosper? And Jesus says, hey, you don't worry about him. You just follow me. Why do I have issues with my children and they don't seem to? Jesus, don't worry about that. I'm teaching you some things. You just follow me. Why does illness always seem to hit our family, but that family never seems to have a cold? Jesus says, don't worry about it. You just follow me. We do that in church all the time, don't we? Hey, Jesus, what about them? They raised their hands during worship. You can't truly worship when you raise your hands, can you? And Jesus says, don't worry about them. You just keep your focus on me. Hey, Jesus, what about them? They brought a cup of coffee into the worship service. And you know, a person can't truly worship holding a cup of coffee. And Jesus says, don't worry about them. You follow me. Look again at verse 21. If I want John to remain alive until I return, What is that to you? You follow me. Your assignment, whatever comes, is to follow the leader. Not other people, but to follow Jesus. And here's a challenge. Are your eyes on the leader or on other people? Because if they're on other people, you're always going to find someone ahead of you. Something you like about them that you don't like about yourself. Some place they are that you want to be. Something they have that you want. And you'll get critical and discouraged. And like Peter, you'll say, what about them? But Jesus says, get your eyes off them. Put your eyes on me. John 21, in early morning after breakfast, Jesus met with Peter. And his challenge was very clear. First, do you love me? Second, prove your love by action. And third, follow me.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a special announcement right after this. Have you ever had an Emmaus Road experience? A moment when the scriptures blazed with new understanding and you knew God had spoken to your soul. And now, looking back, you can exclaim along with the Emmaus disciples, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? Well, Ron Moore wants you to look forward to such moments in the days ahead. He takes you to that place in his engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. There, in bite-sized meditations, Ron lays a solid foundation for the authority of the Bible. You'll discover the men God used to communicate his word, the supernatural preservation of the scriptures down through the centuries, and a new call to embrace its living truth. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a special announcement.
Hey, I have a special announcement for all our Pittsburgh area listeners. We'd love to have you join us at the Bible Chapel in the South Hills, that's in McMurray, for Journey to the Cross. Journey to the Cross is a walk-through reflection of our Lord's final hours, and this is a great event for adults and for children as well. Actually, it's a very hands-on experience. You can count the 30 coins, like those used to betray Jesus. You can also hold in your hands replicas of the nails used to pierce the Savior's hands. And for a unique experience, you'll be able to smell the incense used to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. Join us at our South Hills campus for Journey to the Cross, which runs from April 16th to April 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. and on Friday, Good Friday, April 19th from 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening. Then at 7:30 p.m. on Good Friday, we're going to ask you to join us for a special musical concert that tells the story of Christ's passion. You'll follow him from the resurrection of Lazarus to Judas making a deal with the religious leaders to the upper room for the Lord's Supper. And you'll walk with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, then witness Peter's betrayal, the crucifixion, and the Lord's victorious resurrection. Both Journey to the Cross and the concert are free. They're open to everyone. We hope you bring your friends and your family and your neighbors, especially those who need to experience the power of the gospel message. Each of these events are at our South Hills campus, 300 Gallery Drive in McMurray. And for more information, you can go to our website, BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. We hope to see you there. And as always, thank you for joining us on the journey.
And we also want you to have a copy of Ron's devotional, The Greatest Text Message, to help direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.